Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
See a chance, gotta take it, wanna meet my fate. Cause the last thing I ever
welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Steve Del Bianco is our guest, our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 10 years as a Brain Trust member, vice president of Association for Competitive Technology, also the executive director of NetChoice. That's netchoice.org. Is that right, Steve?
That's right, Jim.
NetChoice.org. ActOnline.com, too, right, for the other one?
Both are .orgs, Jim. Both are.
ActOnline.org. You'd think after 10 years I'd remember that, wouldn't you?
That's fine.
But so check those things out, folks.
We're
going to get Steve to tell us a little bit more about them in a little bit. Steve, over the last 10 years since you've been on a member of our Brain Trust, I'm going to say we've gone through about three periods where the states needed money. And that seems to me to be the time when they raised the head of internet sales tax. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that's when they really give it momentum. But the entire time, it's still moving. It's still alive, Jim.
They never really leave it, do they?
No, and when times get tough on state budgets, they claim that the reason there are so many kids in that classroom or only one fire engine instead of two is the internet. They blame the internet, claiming the internet is tax-free, and it's the reason they're lacking billions in sales tax collection. And they continue to blame the internet. The rhetoric hasn't changed at all, but their tactics are getting more clever. You know that's just a myth, too. The internet is not, of course, tax-free. All of us have to pay sales tax on stuff that we buy.
Yeah.
If we don't pay a sales tax, we have to pay a use tax on it. And I guess the only difference is who's obligated to collect the sales tax. Rachel was on the earlier segment from Zestra. She's headquartered in New Jersey. Whenever she sells her incredibly interesting product to people in New Jersey, they buy it from her website, she collects New Jersey sales tax, just like every other New Jersey merchant, and sends that sales tax off to Trenton. But if she ships to my household down here in Virginia, because I'm thinking about buying some of that for Elaine, then we would probably not have her collect sales tax for Virginia, because Rachel doesn't have a physical presence in Virginia. She doesn't have to file here. She doesn't know the rates and the rules in Virginia. So Virginia turns to me and says, Steve, you owe a use tax on that product, not a sales tax. So the internet gets blamed because folks like Zestra, Rachel, can reach customers all around the country. But thanks to a Supreme Court ruling in 92, Rachel only has to collect sales tax when she sells to states where she has a store or a physical presence.
Some kind of a nexus.
That's right. If she had sales reps combing the streets of Virginia, she'd have to collect in Virginia, right?
Right.
If she had a store or an outlet.
We all see that on websites. So the thing is that the big problem is because a small business can become an e-commerce company and sell online to anybody across the country in one of the 7,000 or so different taxing areas. In order for us to collect that tax, if the states passed the internet sales tax law that they're trying to get done, then I would have to, if I sell books across America over my website, I would have to know how to remit that tax, that 29-cent tax or whatever it would be, to any one of those 7,000 or however many there are different taxing districts.
Now you've got it right, Jim. And it isn't just the internet, you know, this entire thing applies equally to catalog, telephone, home shopping network. There's really nothing about this that focuses on the internet and e-commerce. It's just where most of the growth is. Because if you did open a store today, everybody on Main Street and anywhere will use a website, not a catalog anymore, to try to reach customers that have maybe been to their store and want to buy when they get home, or customers that might never darken their doorstep get the chance to learn about them through search engines and online
Steve,
ads.
Steve, I'm going to take the devil's advocate position on this. Let's say the law passes. Let's say that it's a requirement. Wouldn't this be an opportunity for some smart guy like you? In fact, I don't know anybody who could do this better then you and probably, you know, your compatriot there at ACT, Jonathan Zook, you guys could come up with a program that would aggregate all of those districts, that would find a way to just fill in the state and the city, that would punch out a number of, you know, an amount that would need to be remitted, and maybe even find a way to remit that through PayPal or something. And I mean, this to me, and you know that I'm doing this for a reason. It's not exactly what I want to happen, but wouldn't that be an opportunity for somebody to do that? I mean, isn't that how the marketplace works?
That's right, Jim. And in fact, the states have already lined up several vendors of software from Avalara, Taxware, and others who are offering software that the states will provide to vendors for free. So what's the problem? Well, let's just take a simple example. One of my members is SilverGallery.com in Virginia. And when you go to their website, and their shopping cart software is custom-written software that allows you to put monograms, initials, or sayings that they'll engrave on your product. They add some value. In other words, just like Rachel said, if you've got a small business that sells what everybody else sells and you're not adding any value and it's not special, guess what? Walmart is going to kill you, right? The only way you're going to really stay in business is do something
right.
Special. When you do something special, you end up customizing how you fulfill the order and let
right.
the customer configure what it is they're buying from you.
Right.
And sure enough, if I gave my Silver Gallery, if I gave them software that allowed her to punch in an address of a customer and it would return the sales tax rate today in that particular district for whatever she's selling, and then later on it would tell her where to send her returns and how
right.
to file and how to pay.
So
still
but you're still fighting
that.
This. Is it any closer to passage quickly?
It is. Definitely close.
Okay. Hope we're going to get you to continue to report on this for us as this goes through down the road, folks. Steve will be back to talk to us about that. When we come back, I want to talk about some other things with Steve DelBianco. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Steve DelBianco is our guest and our good friend, more than 10-year member of our Brain Trust. And Steve, tell us quickly about your organizations.
NetChoice is a coalition of e-commerce companies around the country. And we're always fighting to stop barriers to e-commerce and online services. And our website is www.netchoice.org.
And also actonline.org is your ACT website. And folks, I know you have large members, but most of your members are small business owners just like me.
That's right, and that's where I came from. Remember, all of us at
yep.
ACT and NetChoice, we didn't work on Capitol Hill. We built and created small businesses. We were an IT consulting firm.
Yep.
We sold, and this is a second career to get into lobbying on the behalf of the needs of small businesses, mostly tech
right.
businesses, but small businesses of many kinds.
Yeah. Steve, one of the things that you reminded me of off the air was we still have a little bit left to cover on this sales tax, this internet sales tax that the states are pushing for. You were telling us as we went to the break that it's getting closer, that they're pushing it hard. Tell us about why small business owners should care.
Jim, even 7 years ago, the sales tax guys acknowledged that even if you handed a small business a piece of software, gave it to them for free, and the software could... Well, it could tell them what the rate was and where to file. They realize that small businesses then have to plug that software into their in-house system, the one they've put together for their shopping cart, their point-of-sale system on their cash register, their back office, fulfillment and ordering, their customer service returns and exchanges. And they know that integrating software into an in-house system is incredibly expensive and troubling. So they knew they needed to provide sort of some shelter and some protection for the smallest retailers in the country. And I convinced them to go with a $5 million of annual sales as a small business exception.
Right.
But on last week, the governing board of the Streamline Project came to town, and it's now being run by tax collectors, not legislators that have to stand for election. And these tax collectors put together a lot of spreadsheets. And they actually made a little speech saying that what we want to do is maximize our collections. We're no longer as concerned with the burdens it imposes on business. We want to maximize our collections. Because we don't
care about the goose that's laying the golden egg.
Yeah.
We just want the egg.
Yeah, and because we need the money, right? Yeah. So they decided to cut that small business exception from $5 million in annual sales to just, you ready for this? $100,000 in annual sales.
Wow, that's a big cut.
Yeah, so you get up over $100,000, which is $8,000 a month of gross sales. Maybe your margins are 15, 20%. Maybe you're being $1,500 a month. So we're talking about a home-based business who's getting a margin of $1,500 a month and using
and
that.
You may be, and the thing is you may be spending a lot of money on AdWords just to get to that $100,000.
Yeah, forget about paying salary for yourself, packaging, yeah, going to trade shows, picking up stock, paying your accountant and your programmer, hosting your website. So let's just be clear, $100,000 is not a big business, Jim.
It's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money. But the minute you get to $100,000, you need to collect for all 22 states that are in the Streamline Project. And that's 4,000 or 5,000 tax jurisdictions. And what are they going to do for you?
And once that happens, it'll wind up being all 50 states.
It could definitely.
Very soon. So is the $100,000 etched in stone, or can that be revisited?
Great question. I have meetings today and all next week on the Hill to try to get Congress to say, "Hang on, don't bless the $100,000 number. Get back to that $5 million number we talked about earlier." And the reasons are more than ever.
And, of course, now they're being pulled, the members of Congress are being pulled in another direction, Steve, by their merchants who are not selling much online and who think that they're losing business to the online merchants.
Right. And I would really encourage those merchants to think about whether the Internet is their best friend or their competitor. Because it strikes me that Walmart and Target are more of an enemy to Main Street than the Internet is.
So, well, see, to me, for them to deny the advent and the benefit of the Internet would be the politicians, I should say, would be like them 100 years ago trying to pass a law to protect buggy whip makers.
I have to agree, but you know, Rachel, when on her show, she was quick to point out that you've got to sell something that's different. If you're a hardware seller in a small town, let's say it's in Florence, a big town.
Yeah.
That hardware store is not going to be able to compete with Home Depot when it comes to mass market commodity items.
Not on price. You've got to do something special. Steve, give us that website again, please.
www.netchoice.org.
Check it out. Hey, Steve, thanks for being out there on the front lines for us.
Thank you, Jim. Hey, I'm glad you're in Washington, and let's see if you can knock some sense into those heads downtown.
There you go. And I hope I see you while I'm here. Thanks, Steve, for being here. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. I will be, too, in the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.